family, but also, as you'll see at the end of his preaching, he may go and speak to a few people, and we may all be able to witness a moment where God speaks to someone directly in a way that helps them move forward and to know for certain that God is with them. And so I want to encourage you, this is a special time together. And would you please now welcome a very dear friend and part of our church family, Dr. Jay LaRue.
Hey, this is the first service thing, you get a chance to see him. How does he look? Huh?
I was sick, so I was kind of keeping it low. So you don't want to talk to me after service.
No, you don't. You hug him like, get like this, you understand? Yeah. I still haven't been able to wear one of those mask things, but I guess, you know, we can always do it. Yeah, and I also said to the first service, and those watching on live stream, it's so good to have you, and it's certainly my honor to be here to this church, a great church. If you haven't seen the sanctuary, it's worth coming just to see the sanctuary. It's absolutely beautiful. You've done a great job on it. True, isn't it beautiful? The chairs, yeah? First thing I noticed, that little blue color was gone. I don't know what that was. And so they're absolutely beautiful. Just that the facility is great. Also, what we didn't get a chance to see was, nobody got a chance to see, without question, my better half. And so when they came in, it was good to see. But is Linda here? I said, yeah, you'll see her. So I just want you to get a chance to see her. She's still, without question, the love of my life, passionately in every way. I'm just so thankful that I have her. In as a partner, as a friend, and as my sister, and especially my wife. Here she is right here. Stand up, honey. It isn't just because it's 2020. I know we're in the 21st century. In itself is a tremendous number. But this is more significant than just simply a play on a number. The number in the Hebrew numerology is, the number 20 is divine anticipation, or anticipation in the divine. If there was ever a day for you and I to anticipate God doing something that's of the divinity and of the heavenly, it is absolutely now. It is a day that you and I can believe God to do things that we thought were never going to happen, never thought possible. It is really the day to begin to dream. It is the day to begin to set fresh vision. It's a double 20 on top of that, double divine anticipation. He's giving it to us so that we can anticipate in him. The two of them together is the number 40. It's often used as the number for the wilderness experience or the time of testing. It really isn't. It's a number of the end of that and a beginning to enter into the promise of God. So I want to encourage, before I even begin this morning, all the grandfathers, grandmothers, dads and moms, uncles and aunts, every young person in this building, including me. If there's ever a day to embrace the promise of God, it is now. If there's ever a day to believe that God is bringing salvation around the world, it is now. Our universities are going to be changed in an unprecedented way. In every state, this country affects the world educationally. You're going to see the Lord do things in our educational systems that we didn't think possible, not by some legalism, by simply what we sang, a dimension of his presence we have never known before. He loves them. He's the only one that can influence us as a people and this world. But man, this is a day to anticipate him to do things that we never thought possible. Every level of education, every level of government. The prophetic word out of the prophet Isaiah was this, that all kings shall see your glory. Well, for them to see it, that means we have it. I love our singing about it, but that's his intent, is to bring a glory, a dimension of himself that we have never experienced in person and in power. It is a day to re-embrace the promise of God, whether it was something that a pastor said to you, to us, or something we read, or something that was spoken prophetically. However it came, man, it's a day to dust off the dust, regrip that thing and say, listen, I'm ready, God. Let's do this thing. I think the time is now. Nehemiah chapter 4. Again, I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I just want to say, in behalf of the church, especially Pastor Sean and the leadership here, the eldership, Linda and I remain humbled, honored, privileged to continue to be a part of what the Lord is saying and doing here. We look forward to coming back every year. We earnestly, on a weekly basis, more so for many here, pray and intercede and believe with you. It isn't the prayer of, oh God, it's the prayer of, oh yay, God. It's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. You got tremendous leadership here with incredible integrity. It's just, a joy to be Pastor Sean and this leadership's friend and this church's friend. I actually was called the crazy uncle this morning. Okay. Better than the tired old grandfather, I guess. That's, I don't think I'll ever get that phrase. But anyways, let's read. Beautiful story. And then I want us to just to live it out together this morning. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was angry, wroth, King James. And he took indignation and mocked those Christians that were living in the Virginia area. I'm sorry, the Jews. I don't know, my eyesight's getting up. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Then Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, yeah, even if they build it, if a fox came up, it could break down that stone wall. I love Nehemiah. Verse 4, his prayer begins, Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey into the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall. All the wall was joined together and a half thereof, joined together unto the half thereof. For the people, I love this word, really has had a heart to work. I believe that's coming back to us. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very angry. Verse 8, and they conspired all of them to come together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and we set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the burden bearers is decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we are unable to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all the places whereabout they shall return, and they will be upon us. Verse 13. Therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall, and even the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, really is the word awesome. And fight for your brethren, fight for your sons, and fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, and your houses. Let's pray. Father, thank you so again. You know this. I've already expressed it. What a tremendous honor it is to be here this morning. What an amazing time we're in. It isn't a season. It isn't momentary. This is a new era of the church world. Lord, I'm asking, as always, that the revelation of Jesus Christ be to all of us. The revelation of the kingdom of God, this kingdom that cannot be removed. It is a kingdom without limitation. It is limitless. And you've given it to us. We didn't have to buy it, pay for it. We don't have to be better for it. We don't have to earn it. It's ours. It's the greatest kingdom the world's ever known. It is an increasingly great kingdom. Father, this morning, let not only me but us have renewed passion in what you're doing. Do something in our lives, Lord, that'll affect us. Let hope arise, faith arise, dream arise. Lord, let us stand in our day, not by listening to the rhetoric of our world, but let us have our hearts set upon you. Let there be a divine anticipation in us. What might you be willing and desiring to do? I believe eye hath not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of men what you have prepared for those who have been waiting for you and those who love you. It's us. But you've begun to reveal them to us by your Spirit. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. It's 444 B.C. Please, the historical value is important to us. The Persians are the world rulers. They have built a majestic kingdom from Ethiopia to India. Nehemiah will be a slave. He will grow up in Persia. His father was born in Babylon. His grandfather came as a slave to Babylon. He is in the king's palace, and I love him, and I couldn't read it all. He is greeting now his brethren that just came from Jerusalem, and he asks them, Hananiah, how are the Jews in Jerusalem? And Hananiah almost shakes his head, and he goes, they're in great reproach. The walls are destroyed. They were destroyed 140 years earlier by Nebuchadnezzar. He burned the city to the ground. All 12 gates were burned with fire. He tore down the walls, tore down the towers. The nations of the world have mocked them and laughed at them. They talked about them, how great of a nation they were. And now the city of the living God has just become nothing but a rubble heap for 140 years. There's something with Nehemiah that I love. When he hears that information, he doesn't go, oh, I'm glad I'm here. He immediately fasts and prays and has this cry out to God. And his longing is that God move them forward. He uses the word prosper. But there's something inside of him that he knows something's not right. I love his name. Nehemiah means comforted of Jehovah. I believe in this room. We have a rare thing, you know. I have friends that want me to worry. They have me watch certain videos and watch certain news things. And, you know, because they say, you need to worry more. And I try to say to them, I don't know. I got this comfort and this hope. What do you want from me? Isn't it beautiful that we are a people, no matter what's going on in the world, there's a comfort that God brings. His father's name, Halkali, he's listed here. And we've got to take note of it. His name means disturbed of Jehovah. That's what becomes this Nehemiah. I believe though we've been comforted, the Lord has been not disturbing us in a sense of no peace, but we know God wants to do something. There's a little bit of an unrest inside of us. There's something going on in all of us that God wants to do something. There's something about the city of God that he's interested in. There's something he wants to build in the earth again. There's something he wants to do to see the earth changed again. And so Nehemiah has this sense, and immediately he goes to this time of prayer and this time of fasting. He is the king's cupbearer. You have to know this just in brief, that his life was on the line for the sake of the king every single day. If the king ordered breakfast, Nehemiah would try it at this moment to see if Nehemiah lived, then the king would eat it. I believe I'm talking to a people who have sacrificially lived their lives for the king and for the sake of the king. I believe that about this church. I believe that about every one of us in this room. And so Nehemiah is now tasting the wine, and the king goes to drink the wine, but he's saddened. He's almost distraught. And the king says to him, Nehemiah, what's going on? He was never like this. And Nehemiah was nervous, and he said, oh, king, I mean, how is it possible that I'm here in the palace, yet the sepulcher of my forefathers in the city of my fathers lays in ruins. It's amazing to me. Nehemiah's never seen the city. He has no idea what it looks like. He's never been there. But there's something inside of him. He knows that God wants to rebuild the city of God. What she was to always be, the Lord is wanting to do it. There's a sense of it with him. And this king, it's incredible, man, how many kings from other nations have built the city of God and built the people of God. It's amazing. So the king releases Nehemiah, and he tells no one. He heads to Jerusalem. He comes with a few men, and he's on his beast, they call it. And he comes up to the southern wall of the city. He comes as he is saying, to what's called Valley Gate. It is nothing but ashes, and all the stones are pulled down. But he knew the gates of the city, they would pass down the information, though he never saw it. He began to look, and even the stench of the burnt stones was still there after 140 years. He came across Dung Gate, and he moved around to the east side of the city. He stood in the Kidron Valley. Behind him, what we know as the Mount of Olives. And he's looking at once was a majestic city, once the greatest city in the world, once a city that the kings of the earth came to see. And it was just burnt. And he's looking at it. And he's in disbelief, but there's something inside of him. He hasn't told anyone. I love him because he's nobody, but he's somebody. He's just a man living in his generation who has a sense that God wants to do something that's just not believable. I believe, again, he's been working it in our lives. Not just my generation, my father's, mine, my son's, my grandson's generation. Just like this church. He knew the time is now. He begins to tell them that the Lord has put it on his heart to build. And these small Jews are beginning to take on a task that's almost overwhelming to them. Isn't it amazing? You notice in the story, the enemies of the people of God have no issue until they begin to rebuild that which is in the heart of God. All of a sudden now they're angry. They're conspiring against them. I love this with Nehemiah. He never battles with them. He doesn't give ear to that. And so he begins to set the families. Another reason why I love this story is this isn't about just the men, even though we're meeting tomorrow night. I'm so thrilled and so excited about that. It isn't just about the ladies. It's about the entire family. And we're in a day and time when the Lord is interested in everyone in our family. And he sets them in their families. The second chapter and the third chapter has them sitting. He lists the families as they begin to build. I want you to watch this moment because it's incredible. Nehemiah is just sitting there. He's watching. See, there's going to be an inward pressure against the building and an outward pressure against the building. You might be sitting here, and all of a sudden, Judah comes to him. Of all the tribes, it's Judah. And he says to Nehemiah, the strength of the burden bearers is decayed. There's too much rubble. We can't build. Already they're beginning to back off because of the strain and the stress of the work. It looked like they could do it, but then they began to struggle with it. I want to talk about this for a moment. What is it about the strength of the burden bearers? The truth is, it's not just me or the men in here that are born to bear the burdens. It's all of us. And it's amazing that Jesus really says something that's so key to us, that his burden is light. Because the truth is, sometimes I feel like it's light and sometimes I feel like this. How you doing, Jay? Oh, wonderful. Kraya. Yeah. And I almost have to remember the burden's light. It's family, it's church, it's our nation, it's our world, it's the day we're in. And I feel like sometimes it's decaying. But the amazing thing is please hear me just for a moment this morning. You see, I'm not a burden bearer on Sunday, and then Monday I just have no more strength. It's always a slow decay. And so over the 43 years now of my Christianity, I've watched it in my own life. I got the passion to do something, and after a year or two or three, I'm starting to lose the passion. I just feel like it's so difficult. The work is so difficult, so hard. And the Lord's not angry with it. I understand. I've never seen a time period where there's been such decay in the church world, especially over the last 20 years. It's amazing to me, the weariness, the tiredness, but I understand it. So what's the key? How do us continue with the strength to bear the burden, no matter the work, no matter the difficulty, no matter the weight, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what's doing? What keeps me strong? It's here. I never realized it. I just try to sometimes puff it up. I can do it, you know, on Tuesday. By Thursday, I was like, I need to know. It's here. It's the person who comes to Nehemiah. That's the hidden part. It's Judah. The name means praise. But let me just go back to the root. You see, Jacob had two wives, Rachel and Leah. He loved Rachel, but Leah was, yeah, he kind of put up with it. Now, my heart goes out to Leah. I'm glad he loved Rachel, and every woman needs to be loved, but no woman needs to be treated like this. No wife needs to be treated like this. That's why we're having a marriage conference. A little plug. Yeah. And so Leah would have to fight for Jacob's love. Would have to trade off time with Rachel. Would have to manipulate. And so she wanted another son. It would be her fourth one. And she just wanted him. And so it worked it out. 9 months, you know, the ladies in here and the men, but the ladies, especially, they knew that time would come. And she gave birth. It would be a son. And she would name him Judah. But watch for a moment. After all the struggle, after all the working, he just wanted to be loved and cared for. When she has a son, she picks him up and she says, I will praise him because he's given me a son. I want to say to you, please, this morning, what is the key to the burden bearer's strength? It's this. I'm not doing it for anyone. I'm not doing it for anything. I'm doing it, and I've got to praise him because he has given me his son. So I just can't help but to... I just got to appreciate the music. I love the music, but I just got to... Yo! Yeah, at the mall. In the Starbucks line. All of a sudden, I'm first. See, at the gym, this works. On the beach, this works. In the Starbucks, in the mall, doesn't work well. But it's just one of those moments where I was being burdened by some family issues, some personal things, some church issues, some friends in Denver, some friends in Detroit, some friends in Chicago, friend in South America who's a pastor friend of mine whose son was murdered in the street because he's a pastor. Oh, yeah, I started to feel the burden of our world. I started to feel the decay. I thought, how are we going to do this? But then I had to remember. Can you do it with me? Can you just give him a little? Yeah, right? Can you just give a little bit? Yo! It's the key to the strength of us, the burden bearers. We're doing it because, and for no other reason than he gave us his son. But I love this next moment. That's the internal battle. That's Jay's internal battle. That's our internal battle. Is this inner part that's just decaying. I'm losing the vision, losing the hope. I'm wondering, did I make a mistake? Did I do the right thing? Is what's going on? How come? I've just got to let that go. The pressure on our world and the voices. And I love this. Nehemiah, and he doesn't say anything. He just sits there. He doesn't say a thing. I love this about him. Then he begins to explain to us that the enemy, the Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ashdodites, the Ammonites are—they're planning, they're conspiring, they're talking, and they're saying that they're going to breach the breaches. There's no walls, and they're going to slay these feeble Jews. And the Jews around there had heard it; they were listening to that. And so they came to Nehemiah, and I love it. They came 10 different times. They're coming. We better stop. We got to finish. The enemy's coming. They know what's going on. We can't stop them. He doesn't answer. I just want to say something about this number first. The number 10 is one of the most amazing numbers in our Hebrew number system. It's the number for divine order. But here's what it really means. It's better described this way. What he has begun, he will see it to the end. What he has started, he will finish. Paul will say it this way, be confident. Oh, really? What can I be confident in? My PhD? No. My haircut? Really, no. That all my body, I'll stay like this for the rest of my life? Not really. My preaching? No. Us as a people? No. So what can I be confident in, Paul? What he has begun, he himself will see it to the end. He'll say it this way about Abraham. Abraham was fully persuaded. What was he fully persuaded about? What he declared, he will perform it. But what's happening here is the enemy has come in and said, what God has started in your life, he'll never finish it. What you've begun here at Cornerstone, you'll never see the end of it. What you think your family's going to get, they'll never get. Watch and see. That's what they were doing. They were trying to say, the enemy was trying to say, what God has started, he'll never finish. Watch Nehemiah. I love this about him. I want it to be live for us. Yeah. He stands up. He's got my attention as I'm reading it. The nobles are there. The elders are there. All the workers, everybody stops and looks at him. Listen to his words. Do not be afraid. I want to say to us, doesn't matter what's going on in our world. It doesn't matter what's being said or what looks like it is. It's all temporal. I want to say to us this morning, do not be afraid. Watch this phrase for a Hebrew. Remember the Lord. So this is how a Hebrew does it. For us, we just kind of think a moment. The Hebrew immediately goes back in time. That's what it means. Where he's kind of been dismembered, separated from you. Go back and remember him again. They would go back and go, wow, yeah, I remember Noah. That was a good, yeah, I'm not sure about that. That was a flood, right? We don't know what really happened here. How about Abraham? Oh, that's exactly right. The promise of God, I mean, it was impossible. The Lord did it anyway. That's right. It was impossible, but he did it. That's right. How about Moses? Whoa, Moses blew us away, baby. There we were in chains. We couldn't fight. We had no weapons. And God sovereignly came down on the greatest nation of the world and did 10 power moves and delivered us with wealth. And then we got to the Red Sea. I remember that. Remember the Red Sea? That's right. We stood there. We couldn't cross it. What happened? Oh, that east wind blew all night long. I was worried all night. I got up and it was, boom, separated just by the wind of God. Not even a hand touching it. And then we walked across. You remember? It swallowed up those Egyptians. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah, remember Joshua? Oh, that's right. We were afraid. You remember? Oh, yeah, there were 31 kings. There were giants in the land. You remember? Oh, yeah, I remember everybody was afraid. But remember Joshua and Caleb? No, they weren't afraid. They were of another spirit, just like the men in this church, just like the women in this church. They knew if God gave it to them, it didn't matter what they faced. Yeah, you remember that? That's right. He took them all down. Amazing. How about when they walked around the city and kind of gave it a yo shout? That's right. It came ba-boom. That's right. Remember that. How about those three boys in the fire furnace? What were their names again? Yeah, I'm not sure, but I know. They got in the fire furnace. Even smoke was not in them. The fire never touched them. Is that right? That's right. Remember the Lord. Listen, I'm going to continue with the same thought. He's off the chair. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Remember the Lord. Here's why. He's great and awesome. He's great and awesome. He's great and awesome. These boots are harder to run with. He's saying to them, please, there's rubble, burnt stones. The enemy's pressing in. It looks hopeless. And this man, who's nobody but somebody, stands up and says, listen, don't be afraid. Our God, he's great and he's awesome. Fight for your wives. Oh, we're not doing this kind of fighting, but we're not going to go back to anything. We're, as he said, we're pressing forward. The time is now. Now's the time. Fight for your wives. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your homes. Fight for your brethren. And immediately, those fearful Jews looked at him, looked at each other. They grabbed their weapons, grabbed their swords, watched and worked. Watched and worked. I believe without question, we've entered into an unprecedented time. It's always been in his heart to do things never seen before. I quoted the verse earlier out of Isaiah and out of the letter to the Corinthians. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has any man, even me, can even consider it in his heart what God has prepared for them from the beginning of time. We're not adding to this, but much of this has never come to pass. Now is the time. Who've been waiting for him and who love him. Amen? Amen. Can we just acknowledge, give him a little praise? Yeah. I'm going to finish it later. So I want you to know we're recording, yes? Thanks. I want you to know that the Lord has really reserved you personally for this time. Even Nehemiah's words, I left them out. He'll use the same phrase that it'll be used throughout the book of Esther, if it pleased the king. And my brother, I want you to know the king is pleased with you, pleased with the process of the work. You didn't realize that. I really want to say some things over the church overall, but I want to get this in for sure. You didn't realize that when you uttered prayers, he actually listened. Not only listened, but with great intent already planned them to be. There are some things he's waited on, as you know, but the Lord's ear is attentive to your voice, to your words, more than ever. He hears everyone's prayer, but there's times that he sets his ear upon a man's mouth. That's exactly what he's done. So that even when you breathe words in, he hears them. And so it is the beginning of a transformation, a process in your own life of asking that which is not within the realms of believing. To ask beyond that. You would never ask. He knows that you're not abstract. Ask that some flaky, fluky thing. He knows that you're a man, well-ordered, a man of rank. He understands that. So this is why he can allow this. A man who's lived himself in submission and lived himself in humility and born a servant, continue to be a servant. Those are marks on your life that he knows. But you're going to begin to see him cause you to begin to believe. Even some of these things, how is it possible? How could this man do this? There are such impossible moments for these men, but the Lord is intently building what he's desired here in this place, not just for this place, but to mirror what he's intending to do. It is an absolute right and the will of God. And so you're going to see him begin to enlarge you greatly. It's almost going to be like your body won't be able to take it, or your heart will just enlarge, and it'll feel like it's pressing out on your ribs. And it almost sometimes you'll be like, you'll say, I don't know if I can do this and fulfill this. And sometimes you'll evaluate and you'll look and you'll feel almost it's impossible. But the Lord will refresh you. Part of this he's going to really build. He's already building a place of intimacy by him. There's a place that he has reserved for you and a level of intimacy you've not known before. It has been your cry. We sing your presence, your face. These are things you want to see, but he's coming to make it a reality, especially for you. It isn't going to be personal to you, but it needs to come this way, and there's going to be a movement throughout the folks. You're going to see the glory of God come in a way that you've not seen it before. I can't explain all that now. We could talk about it afterwards. It's already begun in here, but it comes like Ezekiel's river. It comes gradually. It comes in these movement flows, but it doesn't seep away like water. It's not that kind of thing, even though it was shown that way. But you're going to see it begin to increase, and a dimension of the Spirit and movement of the Spirit of God unprecedented for this place, especially in the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, the dimensions and character. There's going to be a sense that we've got to walk out this person, but especially in manifestation of his power, you're going to see it come in unprecedented ways, because this is a place that he knows is without walls, if I could say it that way, a place that doesn't separate people, doesn't draw lines, and so he wants to take it to the schools, he wants to take it to the community, he wants to take it to the town hall, he wants to take it to the library, he wants it to circulate as the glory of God does. It affects the world, it's what it does, it's not for us alone, it affects the whole world. And so you're going to see this begin to happen. Even some of this comes to you, and I'm saying certain things to you obviously, I'm always specific in the things I'm saying because it's going to cause a fresh stirring in your own heart to begin to believe and within the group, and it'll carry out to the ones who aren't even here. Motivation, Pastor Brennan, even to the families. They're going to see it begin to move this way, your own family especially too. And so it's not going to come cloud-like. It's not going to come smoke-like. It doesn't do that. It comes with clarity and perfect vision and perfect sight, seeing what could never be seen before. And so with this is going to come a finance that this church has not known before, an element of finances that we could not dream of so that we can continue by faith to move out to do some of the building things and purchasing things that he wants. He's really, it's like I'm standing here, and what he's doing is sometimes we build our own barriers. Well, we only have so much, and every wise king measures before he goes to war. I understand that. But sometimes we limit it because we can't believe beyond that. But even as I'm standing here, he's pushing the barriers down outward like that. He's really pushing away the limitations of what cannot be done and what might be done to the place that we're going to do this thing by faith. Never, and even in my own life, which is amazing at this point, I'm setting this in as a parenthesis, but we're still the word of the Lord to you, did the faith, the idea of believing God come to such a reality that he wants to do beyond our ability to believe for it. He really does. And so he himself is breaking off the limitations. And so within this church, and the beautiful thing about this church is no one's going to have to earn their right in here. They're going to walk in here just like the story of the laborers. The first one came in, same money. Last one, they come in, they're going to immediately be fit right into the building process. It's going to be amazing. It's like they're never going to be, that's nothing you've ever known or we've ever known before. It's not just to this place, but it has to be said to this place. And so in this, the Lord is going to really bring personal revelation to you, especially out of the scriptures, in ways that you've not seen them. He's just going to open up some of the historical places within this, and you're going to have a fresh view of it. It's like he's doing some eye work. He's like he's taking out the man eye and putting the eagle eye, the limited sight of a man to the sight of the eagle, which is a lot greater. And it's going to give you the ability to see beyond surface, beyond, and some place in here. Only the Lord can do that. Only he can reveal that. But you're going to see, as far as the church goes, you're going to especially restoration of families. They can count on it. It's like the spirit of Elijah has been working, if you will, to bring fathers to sons again, mothers to daughters. And the reconciliation level here is going to be incredible. Some of the folks, we want to write our story. Let them do it. Because it's going to be, we were separated, we were fought, we were angry. We didn't even know each other. We didn't know each other existed. And the Lord was working salvation in both places. Unprecedented restoration and reconciliation. You're going to have like your own place where people got to go to that class, because that's, we're calling it reconciliation group, restoration group. I don't know how you want to call it. But the miraculous recovery of families will be unprecedented in that room, because he's going to do it in this place so that the families can stay together just like this. Fathers, sons, and daughters. Can you imagine, in our world, it's not possible, a grandfather, a father, a son and a great-grandson actually working together with the same heart and task, just different strengths, different ways, but still with the same focus. Unprecedented, but that's exactly what took place in this place. And so this is a time period for this church to simply lift up their hands, because God is already, but about to do something that's not possible. Okay, I'm a little bit in red figures, but so it's 11:55. I guess it'll 12. 12:05. I had a different boss this morning. He was good with me, though. He likes me better this time around. I don't know why, but he just does. He knows who I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay, yeah, let me just go. Are we okay? Everybody good? Good. I just echoed into my ear. Yeah. So, brother, I was trying to lay off the guys and just get the guys on tomorrow night, but, this is just one of those situations. I think it was your son-in-law this morning. Yeah, beautiful. It was nice to meet him, especially that way. Yeah, I'm good. But you can just hang out there until I'm finished. Yeah, thank you. How about this guy's vocals, right? They're ridiculous. Yeah. So the Lord's been very meticulous at building your life. And some of it's been so slow, it's been almost, sometimes exasperating for you, sometimes irritating for you, because some of your friends have kind of moved on into their life's purposes. And, of course, we're talking profession, family, those things. But I want you to know, dude, that God has been, the meticulousness is necessary. See, that city, when that city was first built, it was meticulous. There's nothing he doesn't do that's absolutely measured out when it has great emphasis. And so this is why the Lord's taking his time. Sure, there had to be some readjustments. He still gets me on the wheel. There still has to be some adjustments. He still prunes me. There's some realities of his administration in our lives that are always going to be there. Doesn't mean I was bad or wrong. He's just increasing, and those have to be there. Wineskin changes, all these things. And so you go through those in your life. But this is a moment, especially this year, where the Lord is going to really begin to meet with you. You've had a new discipline in your life. Really, it's come. You're a little bit of a late bloomer even with some of these things. You've always been a good young man, but there's been a fresh discipline to get things right, things set in order. But it's going to be God's meeting with you and revealing himself to you, that there's going to be this duality, and all this runs through Pastor Sean, of course, because he wants to set you in as one of the workers here. Doesn't mean you get a job here, but one of the young men who lead, one of the young men who has value in the teenagers and in the young adults, a young man who comes under a greater mentorship, even with him and that group of guys over there. But he's really singled you out to be part of this Nehemiah group that will watch the rebuilding of the people of God. Because it hasn't been so much the enemy, but it's just been the way God's worked that we've become very individualized in the church. It's all about me. And he allows that at times, historically he allows it. But then he begins by his spirit to bring it together. There's something about a flood. The flood takes all the fences away. It takes all the barriers away. It makes everything look like one thing. It's not a flood of water, but it's definitely of glory, and that's his spirit. And so this is going to be going on in your life. He's going to do some changes in your physical job and your career to help you along there too. But there's going to be fresh, I don't want to use the word demand on you, but you're going to have a fresh sense of, I need to step up on these things. I need to do these things. The Lord will grace you. See, that's amazing. There's nothing I haven't done that I thought, I don't have what it takes to do this. And sometimes I've got to make that step, even though, with leadership support, my wife's support, but I cannot be afraid to take a step into the, we talk about, let's get into deep water. Well, I can't hang around the shore. That's not deep water. I can't kick around a few little waves around my ankles. There's going to be a time where he wants me to launch out. You remember Peter got on the water? It wasn't his failure. It was his doubt. Why? Don't doubt. So don't doubt. Just trust him, hold on to it, and watch what the Lord will do. There's really, listen, some of your most intimate places in your life, the things that you don't want to tell anybody, the things that you're wanting the Lord to do, he knows. So are you guys, do you know each other? You're married?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this is an exciting house, your house. If I was over there, there's never a quiet moment in your house. I love that. Yeah, it's both of you. It's a lot, Herb. It's both of you. It's good. I like that. Yeah, it is. It's good. It's like the Lord took two separate families and blended it and made one family to prove, especially of his ability to forgive and to forgive him forgiving us, but our ability to forgive those who we walk through, those who have walked through our lives. It would be nice if people came into our lives and there was no pain and difficulty, but it's not a reality there is. Sometimes I cause it, sometimes others cause it, but the reality is though the Lord comes to reconcile. And so you didn't realize that when he was bringing you together, he was already going. He was already pouring silver into both of your lives because you were going to be an instrument of reconciliation between you, between cultures, families, and broken families, without realizing it. And sometimes people think, "Well, I don't know if I want to do that." That's unfortunate because a lot of families just stay separated, stay broken. But he's always, even in us, is the word of reconciliation, is the ministry of reconciliation. I know in my own life, he wants to reconcile things. And so he's been in the midst of it. You're going to see the Lord pick up his pace with you too and your family members. You're going to see it. Sure, it doesn't mean you've got to build every bridge and walk over them, but it can't be without the bridge. I've got to be willing in my own life to say, I'll make it right. Even if it doesn't get made right by the other person, he's doing that. And you're going to see in the future, the whole reason for this is because he wants to use the two of you in bringing broken families together, reconciling families in the world. People who don't know Jesus, don't even believe he exists, will come to your lives. How'd you do it? What happened? Who's that guy? Oh, that guy's my, what? How, you still talk to that person? What are you doing with that person? How is this? But it's a real instrument. Without you realizing it, the Lord really ordained and set it in motion before you even met each other, started to like each other. We all like each other because the nice haircut and that long black hair. And she's got that, that kind of like that Latino thing kind of going. Yeah, you were attracted to it. Yeah, you thought, yeah, I mean, that's how, you know, I mean, there wasn't writing on the in the heavens. Nobody gets that. You just look, and when I first saw Linda, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm still a little bit, yeah. But that's what happened. But you didn't know what God was intending to do. So please, let the Lord heal. He's already been, but let him heal the deepest places. You both have it. There's still some scar tissue on the back of your hearts from life that's gone by. For some of us, for you, it's back all the way to parents, things like that. He wants to heal it. Nothing wrong with that. This is an embarrassment. He wants to heal those areas so that you walk free of that. You will not repeat that. No. And he's making sure of that. And so it can't be. Issues between me and my dad had to come to a place where he healed them. At least healed Jay LaRue. He'll do it within your life, and he'll work more than you think possible. So please understand what's happening in the work of God. Don't push it away. Don't push him away. Don't push that away. Don't let yesterday's memories become today's rule. Let the kingdom of God and the spirit of Jesus Christ, let that rule. Because he will do that which is not possible. Even the division between the kids, your family especially, you have it, but especially your family, the division, and I'm on that side, I'm on this side. Well, he's just, the Lord, even there, will work the miraculous. Maybe a little more. I'm having fun. You okay with that? You know, it's funny that you're even sitting over here. Yeah, it's all good. Don't get nervous. It's all good. You know, I love the teenagers. They're like this, speak to me. The adults are like that too, but I can't say that to them. They're like, and then when I come over, Not you. It's interesting you're sitting because this is one special group here. It's like, you know, you have one son and this is your daughter, but you've got a lot of other daughters that are part of your household. These are two of them for sure. And so I want you to know that the Lord's already working out some things for you, education, your future. There was a time in your life, girl, just even a year ago, that you really weren't sure where you were going to go, weren't sure about life. And just in your own family life, it just didn't have direction. I had a good family, but my father didn't make sense to me. I didn't really care for my mother a lot. That's just where I grew up. I just felt like that. Whether they were wrong, I was wrong, I don't know, but it's how I felt. Only the Lord can enter in and alter it all. But I want you to know this young lady, as soon as when I came in and I saw you sitting over there, it was without question the Lord was so moving upon you and upon your own life and upon your own family to begin to set a pattern, a pathway for you, a pattern for you, a way for you that would have never gone this way unless you entered into this place, into this church, even your mixture in this group with her, with your friendships. All of it's come. The Lord's brought it all to make sure that your life is full. So this is a new day of some disciplines in your life. You know, the Lord's never one in exposing people. He doesn't do that. He knows everything about me. Some things I don't want anybody to know. He knows it all. He doesn't get up here and do it. But there are some things that I know I need to make right and do right. I know. Even at my age, he's still having to reorder my life. And so I'm not afraid of it. But they're always purposeful. They're necessary because he's right around the corner. Sometimes I got to just take a step and make these steps right. And I need to do what I'm told and do what I'm supposed to do. And without realizing it, it seems like, oh, man, this is a drag. But without me realizing it, he's at the end of it. And all of a sudden, the simple decision to do what I'm supposed to do brought a place with him that I never had before. My whole world changed. But girl, he's got these arrangements. I'm looking at your life all the way to your late 30s. And you're going to have a sense of, you know what? I need not to do this. I need to do this. And you do that. Sometimes it's difficult. Obedience is a decision I have to make. It never feels like, hey, I'm going to just obey today. Never. It's a bit of difficulty. Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. I mean, at 12 years old, he got to listen to his parents. His stepfather was like, what a drag. I don't even like Joseph. I don't even know why he's in my life. But he had to learn it. He had to learn it. And so, girl, this is a hoorah day for you. This is a day that the Lord is just simply announcing to you that he is involved in every aspect of your life. You're going to see his hand within school, within your own personal education, even the way you hear things. And sometimes you'll say, well, I don't know. I'm not that smart. I don't just, oh, no, that's totally wrong. Totally wrong. You're just going to seem like brain matter is going to open up, and you're going to have a sense and understanding of things that only he could do within you. He's just going to do it, girl. It's a good day. He's becoming your father. and you're becoming his daughter, and he is absolutely 100% for you. Please stand with me. And I'll have like 12 songs I want you to do. That's kind of, it's bad to be a musician near me because I can't do any of that, but I got this thing, you know, I need to do this, that. Yeah, I got, but I won't ask you to do that. Be not afraid. Remember the Lord. He's great and he's awesome. It's time to fight. We're not fighting people, friendships, not even the devil. It's time that we're making a stand. The time is now. The Lord is doing things in our lives and for our family. It's believing time. It's hoping time. It's hope undeniable. So, Father, I thank you for this morning. For those watching, we're so honored that you've tuned in to us. For us here, Lord, in this week, for what you're doing, Lord, we're thankful. Father, as I prayed in the beginning, the revelation of you, the revelation of the kingdom of God, and this divine anticipation, what might our God be desiring to do? I say on our behalf, yes, have your way. We're all in. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.